going on, y'all? And thanks so much for joining us again here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And joining me, as always, sitting to my immediate right, the Sultan of Sweat, the Ayatollah of Overheating, the big wiggler himself, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here at Skeleton Studios. It's good to be back in Texas. And it's still very, very hot.
Go ahead and tell them what happened.
You're right. So
first, before we go any further, I'm going to preface this. You may hear the AC in the background. Look, I'm sorry. Y'all are going to have to get over it. It's like 104 here, and I'm not turning it off.
Yeah, normally we have the studio cooled down, and before we start recording, Mary will turn the AC and everything off. So there's no background noise, but today it's too hot outside.
It's unrelenting today.
So if you listened to the last episode, you knew about my troubles with our air conditioning unit. Yeah, folks, it went out. Let's see, that's going to be like 9 days ago. And we had our trip. We went to Alabama. We went to Louisiana, Mississippi. And I figured, well, it'll get fixed while we're out of town. Perfect timing, right? Mm-hmm. It breaks down. We only have to put up with it for like 2 days before we leave. Well, I'm on the phone while we're on the trip, back and forth with the AC guys. I get a phone call. And I'm assuming it's going to be, hey, everything's good. You're good to go. Yeah. What do you want me to set the thermostat to so when you get home, walk into the cool house? What they told me instead was, well, there's this part that's broken. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, nobody has them. I'm like, what do you mean nobody has? He's like, we're going to have to special order it. And it's going to be about 5 more days before it's here. So I'm like, oh, that's just terrific, right? So that's what we had to come home from a wonderful vacation to a house that was about 88 degrees inside, and it's hot. And the temperature, like you mentioned, is 104 today, but it was 106 yesterday, and there's not much relief in sight. So it was pretty unbearable. Now, I've been getting barbecued by sitting out on the beach. I never put enough suntan lotion on, sunblock and stuff like that. So I'm pretty hot. I'm tired of being in the sand, tired of getting beat up in the water by the kids. I just wanted to come home to a cool house, and that is not going to happen. So,
no rest
just
for the weekend.
After we unpacked our suitcases, me and the wife headed to Home Depot, and $700 later, we got a couple window units, and those are going as we speak. It's not enough to cool the whole house, but the living room and our bedroom is pretty cool. So
Everybody's camped out
in the living room. We got some air mattresses, and so of course, Luke loves it. Right to him, it's just like a big party. He wants to sleep, stay up all night, and won't stop talking. But we just got back from Alabama. And let me tell you, I've driven through Alabama a few times, but I've never stopped and stayed there for any long time. And I just got through spending like 7 days over there, and it was beautiful. Not only was it pretty, the service was great. Everywhere we went to eat, we had no problem. In fact, every time we got in line, you're like, well, how long is the wait? 45 minutes. Cool. It's dinner time. It's what's expected. 10 minutes later, our table will be ready. And that happened like 4 times.
Man.
So the service was good. Our waiters were always good. I mean, everything was good. People were kind. They had manners. Sometimes you go places, they don't have manners. I had my dad with me, so I had to push the wheelchair a lot. Mm-hmm. People were holding doors for us without you ask. I mean, it was really good. Yep. Great. So good on y'all, all you Alabamians out there. It was a lot of fun. But while driving to Alabama, we stayed a night in New Orleans. I've been there before, but my wife had never been there. So I wanted to show her the French Quarter. And we went on a cemetery tour that was pretty cool. We saw Nicolas Cage's tomb where it's going to be. And I was really surprised by some of those, you know, like that, say one of the tombs looks like it's a rectangle, let's say 6 foot by 8 foot, about 4 foot high, you know, and you'll see like a headstone or something. I thought that like one or two or maybe three people would be buried in those. I didn't realize that there's like a casket in there. And when someone's buried in there, that casket was 1 year and 1 day after the burial, the family gets to come and take the body out and do whatever they want with the bones. And then another family puts another body, and it keeps going. So one of those tombs that's only 6 foot by 8 foot, there was one that had over 1,000 people in it. I didn't realize that they just kept using them. And some of the dates were like as recent as 2 years ago. So they're still doing it. So I think we need to buy some crazy tomb to have our bones put in there. That's pretty cool. Didn't know that was an option. So if none of y'all have been to the French Quarter, it's pretty cool. It's like, you know, 5 blocks by 7 blocks or something, a little small part of an old part of the world. And I'll tell you, I don't know if the last hurricane, you know, scrubbed a lot of stuff clean, but it's much cleaner than the last time I was in New Orleans, which was probably like, 23 years ago.
And the food's still amazing.
But anyways, yeah, so we're there, you know, we're doing the typical stuff. We had went with the boys and my mom and dad up until lunchtime. Then we had lunch, and then after lunch, they all left, and it was just me and Lee. So that's when we did our graveyard tour. Stuff, you know, that the kids aren't going to want to do.
Yeah.
So while we're doing that, my wife, she wants a souvenir. She'd never been there before. And there's all these little shops. So naturally, I'm, you know, I get bored. So I'm like, you do what you do. I'm going to stand out on the street because I like people watching, right?
Yeah.
Especially in strange places. Well, I see this guy come down this down the block, and he's yelling at this what looks like a family. It looked like a mom and dad, three teenagers, three little ones, a couple other kids. I don't know if it was cousins. Probably a family trip.
Yeah.
This guy starts yelling at the guy, the father of that family, like, you need to take care of your kids. And the guy looks as confused as everyone else. He's like, I don't know what you're
talking about. The father has no idea what's
going
on.
The father has no idea. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
This random dude's yelling at
him. And the guy's just rambling. And he's like, dude, I don't have a problem. I just want to move on. You're like, whatever. So I don't think any of it. I'm like, wow. Because I couldn't really tell exactly everything that was being said. Well, then I see that same guy that was starting trouble with the family walk like 100 yards down the road and start yelling at this old guy that looks like Santa Claus. And they did. He wasn't dressed in a Santa Claus outfit, but he's got a white beard, white hair, Jerry Garcia looking,
yeah,
headband on. It's hot, right? Hot and muggy. And he starts yelling at that dude. Well, I can't. They're far enough away where I can only hear the guy in the street because he's actually shouting. But I can see the old man is talking or yelling, but I can't hear it. All of a sudden, they're standing about a foot apart. The old man with the beard pulls out a crambit, which is a knife, folks, a knife with a hook. Now, this hook, it's not made for cutting steak. It's not made for filleting fish. This knife is designed for disemboweling humans in a rather quick time. So I see the old man jerk that knife. Well, the guy on the street starts backing up. And then finally, the guy on the street just like takes off in a sprint.
So good on him.
I see the guy put the knife up and he looks cool. So I'm like, another 10 minutes goes by. I'm like, why not? I walk down there and I talk to the guy that looks like Santa Claus. I'm like, hey, man, was that guy messing with you? And he's like, yeah, that's so-and-so, like Richie or something. Like, he knew who it was. So, and I was like, what?
Like a local guy. Like, he said everybody there knows
he's
him.
Like the town nut. He said, this guy's crazy. He said he's always going up and down causing trouble. He doesn't know if it's a tactic that he uses to throw somebody off kilter, and then he's able to pickpocket you easier. But he tells me he steals cigarettes from people, steals weed from people, steals money from people. Like, he's a trickster, but it's not an act. He said, no, that guy's crazy.
He's a rogue.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's a
right.
rogue.
Yeah. He didn't look like he had any thieves' tool, and he was about to be missing some fingers and probably a jugular vein.
Jugular.
Because he was messing with Santa, and Santa wasn't having it. He's like, yeah, that guy messes with me all the time.
That dude made the list. He's on Santa's naughty list now.
Naughty. He said,
dude,
I always
bad news.
Tell that dude to get away from me. I'm from Tennessee, and like, you know, I'm like, I got it. But he was cool with me.
Yeah, because so you weren't yelling at him.
Stuff. No, I'm not.
Because you already seen the knife.
Oh, I knew it was a dangerous area. You already know it's a dangerous area. But you said you had a similar sighting when you were there.
Yeah, when we were there, I watched a woman get thrown out of a bar. She'd gone in and broke some stuff or something. And you could tell when she walked down. I was doing the same thing you were. My wife was in one of those boutiques, her and my daughter. And I was sitting on one of those benches out there. And a woman went in a bar. And I could hear a scuffle break out inside, right? And some harsh words were exchanged. And I heard breaking glass. And the man physically threw her out onto the sidewalk. And she got up and walked off, and she was cussing and yelling. And he's like, see you tomorrow. You know, so I guess it's one of those things. Like,
he knew her. Who knew who it was?
Yeah.
Well, because of the open drink policy, like, you can have and walk around with this stuff. I bet you they do get people all the time. Because there's like literally, you don't have to walk into the establishment to order a drink. They have the bar facing the street. You can just walk up and order.
It's just like buying pizza at 6th Street.
I wonder how many times that people order a drink and then just snatch and grab and just run off.
No, probably.
Probably all the time, right?
Yeah. The place is madness.
Very cool, though.
The food's amazing.
Yeah. If you want to take your kids, you can do that. It's pretty cool. There's lots of cool voodoo shops. I have some pictures of Luke in the voodoo shop. There was this voodoo idol, and you pray, and you put a bead, or you put some money on it, or something like that. So Luke was really fascinated with, like, how many people Luke had prayed to that idol. And then he saw all the spells and stuff, so it was pretty cool. But if you're going to take your kids to the French Quarter, do it. Just make sure they go home about 2. Because after about 3 o'clock, it starts getting pretty Western, as we say down here. Right?
You can, yeah.
Moving on, let's get into some stories. Check this out. It says, hey, guys. First off, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your show. It's helped me get through some really tough days. It's taught me a few things and given me more than a few good laughs. So thank you. You may remember my story of encountering a glimmer man in the Red River Gorge area of Kentucky while making a late night medicine run for my wife. I do remember that. He says, we just got back from Asheville, North Carolina, and I experienced some more weirdness. I had rented a cabin, and per my wife's request, I got as remote of one as I could find. We're about an hour outside of downtown Asheville, and while the setting was great, it still made me, well, actually both of us, a little uneasy. There was a little stream nearby, just a few minutes' walk. There were no visible neighbors. There were no streetlights. Virtually nothing to disturb our stay. At night, a favorite activity was to sit out on the deck and watch the fireflies light up the tree line. It was actually while doing this that something very odd occurred to me. There was no noise from anything during the night. No crickets, no frogs, nothing. Now, we frequently take hikes, and I've heard areas on the trails quiet down whenever we enter. The animals senses that they probably sense a predator, and they natural response is to go quiet. Now, you may think that what was going on here, and I'll certainly allow for that possibility, but we kept the windows open at night, and we still heard nothing. In fact, there were a couple of nights when, due to my snoring, I was banished to the couch. And on one of those nights, I would wake up and still hear absolutely nothing. On one of our last days, then we decided to take a walk down to the creek. We got about halfway there when we lost the trail, and both of us, being a bit paranoid of snakes, decided it was best to turn around rather than continue through what I can only describe as a game trail, with a really narrow path through some overgrown grass and leaf clutter. So after turning around and heading back is when things got weird. As soon as we started back, I got the feeling of being watched. And I mean, it hit hard. I would swear there were eyes on us as we made our way out of the woods. After walking a few minutes, I heard what sounded like a rock land on the path behind us. In fact, it happened more than once, at least two more times before we made the clearing leading to the cabin. Now, I failed to mention that there are two small footbridges that we crossed on this path. And as we approached the first, I would swear you could hear someone walking on it. But when we got there, it was empty. We crossed and headed to the next one, and I heard it again. There was clearly something bipedal walking across the bridge after us. We soon crossed the second footbridge and made our way to the clearing and up to the cabin. That night was one of the nights I was on the couch, again, with all the windows open. Having put most of the day's experience behind and chalking it up to my over-imagination, I turned off the NHL playoffs after watching the Lightning come back to win and settled in for sleep. My wife having gone to bed earlier, around 2 a.m. I woke up to the most awful smell you could possibly imagine. It smelled like a wet dog or feces and decay. I also swear I heard footsteps in the woods behind the cabin and some very loud breathing. Kind of huffing. This lasted for about 15 minutes or so, and then it just seemed to go away. I lay there, occasionally looking out the window next to my bed, but the woods were so thick, and it was so dark, I saw nothing. Eventually, I went back to sleep and woke up a few hours later. I stealthily grabbed my hiking boots from near the door and snuck out to take a look at the area that I heard the noises from during the night. There was one small path, but the ground was too hard to find any signs of footprints or anything else. The only thing I found were several rocks about baseball size laying directly in the path. I'm not sure if we were being watched or if it was all just a series of coincidences, but wanted to share this with you and your listeners. As always, thanks for the podcast and the joy it brings me and others. Peace, y'all. John. Well,
woo, thanks, John.
This is very common when people have these paranormal experiences with Bigfoot or fae folk and stuff. I mean, we always talk and reference, you know, the woods getting very quiet, mm-hmm. the terrible odor, the odors, you know, that's why it's called the skunk ape, folks. It's talked about being stinky, you know, and dirty. But there's also sightings of dogmen that have very similar coincidences with the stories of Sasquatch or skunk ape. Is again, the odor, the absence of sound. Almost like, I don't know, when these strange sightings happen, it's like almost like you either slipped into a parallel universe or vice versa. It's like you're gone for
it's like an area of effect around the creature almost, right?
Yeah.
Like everything in a certain area around it makes it quiet. I don't know. It's very, it's odd because we've had so many accounts of different sightings, but still involving the silence of the woods.
Yeah.
It's a very, very strange thing. Speaking of strange, when I was talking about like the sky serpents and the manta rays in the sky and all of these things of seeing some strange deals, I found this. Lon posted this up and sent this to me because, of course, we got to get Lon on, too. We got to get him on to talk about the Mothman stuff that's still popping off. But this made me think of, and I'm going to tell you the movie after it because I think you're going to be able to figure it out.
Okay.
This is what it says. It says, I'm not good with typing, but I will try my best to explain what I saw. This happened in Trinidad, in my home village called La Brea, in 2009 at midnight on New Year's Eve. I was at the beach with a friend who told me about this sacred place. I reached there walking down the hill, and as soon as I looked behind me, there were black, human-shaped figures that are well known as shadow people dragging their feet. For some reason, they were headed to the ocean, down the hill in the same direction. As I continued on, I came across a bright, white, human-shaped figure far away in the sea that looked like it was standing on the water. I thought at first it was a white bird, but of course, there's no birds flying around at midnight. So I went closer to the bright white figure, and I noticed without a doubt that it was at least 6 to 7 foot tall with a human shape. As I tried to get a closer look, the head, if you will, of the figure turned my direction and then started following my movement. The body didn't move at all, only the head. And when I started to move closer, the figure suddenly extended huge white wings and jumped 3 feet into the air. Now, the wings covered its body and the figure started to deform. It only lasted for a second, then it completely disappeared. Not long after that, now completely freaked out by what I'd witnessed, my friend told me to look in the sky. I knew that fireworks would be going off because it was exactly 12 a.m. New Year's. But when I looked up, I saw at least 4 flying manta rays. Each looked the same, about 4 to 5 feet long, very dark color, and what looked like a strange heart mirage coming from behind near the tails. They were flying the same as a fish would swim in the ocean. I was not on drugs or even drinking that night. I had a video camera, but I was too scared to even try to get any of it on film. Not a lot of people know about the myths of La Brea or even believe it. The beach where these were seen, I believe, is a different realm. I am sure if one of those was going there again, or one person, that person can see these things for themselves. I was planning on going back there someday and get what I saw on video, but I can't right now. Right now I'm in the U.S., but I see you guys are very interested in these type of supernatural things, so I thought I would share my story. Hope I was able to be of use, okay?
Wow.
So.
What? Gargoyle?
Right.
Demon?
Well, what I was thinking
angels
was.
And flying mantis-looking manta rays?
Yes. What's the Ed Harris movie? I was just telling you about it, and then I went blank. Underwater. We've talked about it, where the UFOs come from underwater and bring them up.
Oh.
Now you're going to go
Communion?
Blank.
No. Oh, my God.
Yeah, see? Me too, right? I just went and told people are screaming.
The Abyss?
The Abyss, that's it. You remember the thing that visits them, we've talked about this, has a manta ray shape.
Yeah.
And now we know what we know about UFOs and these underwater UFOs that people have seen and interacted with, and the government has come out talking about it, and now they're calling this place a sacred place. What if that is an area where the UFOs and the aliens can come and go? And physically, that's what they are. They come up. Maybe that's them messing around before they go in. I don't know, but it's
right.
There's a lot of things linking together now.
That,
but I like the idea of a manta ray style alien standing on the water just chilling.
That, man. That's,
yeah, right?
That's pretty cool. Speaking of cool, my house is not that, but after the break, I'm going to be talking about some more shadow people encounters. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We'll be right back. and we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope everybody out there is having a good one. I wanted to talk more about some shadow people sightings and experiences people have, because there is a ton. I would say when it comes to emails, probably one a week that we get, and I just stick them in a big pile that, you know, one day we'll reference, and I'm sure we'll reference them again on another show. But
it happens with a lot of like often, like they're
like the not deer. There for a while, like you had done an episode, and we did the episode on the not deer, and then we got flooded, and then it started dwindling down. So now we haven't had any in a couple of weeks, but a bunch of them. And like, I didn't even know it was a thing. So in a little while, I've got another not deer sighting that I'll tell
everybody. Before you do the shadow, I want to tell you that I had an experience of something for a split second, right? This is what happened. The other night I was out, and it was about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and I was out watering my wife's flowers, okay?
Yes.
So I'm being a good husband. She had gotten busy, done some stuff, and gone to sleep, forgotten to water her flowers as hot as it's been. I'm out there because, like I said, I don't water the yard, but I water the flowers. So I'm out there watering, and we talk about the park that's in between our homes, correct?
Yes.
And it was dark, and, you know, they don't have any lights in that park. There's just what bleeds over in there. And I saw movement. And there's nobody over there, right? There's nobody parked. There was no kids. Now, usually you could hear the kids in the summer, but I saw movement. So I froze, right? I'm over in the shadows watering flowers, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what is that? I keep watching it. This movement of this dark, and it, the way it's casting, it looks like a shadow, like someone walking.
Right.
But there's nobody there. It's just this shadow. I can't figure out where it comes from. Turns out there's a lot of gang activity over there at that park of cats. I saw six cats in a group.
Oh, it's like gang activity.
Gang. There's a gang of cats. And it was throwing the way the shadow, the way the light was moving across there. It looked like almost the outline of someone moving, but it was just a cat. It wasn't even a shadow, right? It's just the way it worked out of the. So I was like, what the hell? Checking it out. So anyway, it's one of those deals. It's like, it's funny you bring it up because you had probably just gotten home or hadn't been home long by the time I was doing all this.
Right, yep.
And I'm like, man. And then you tell me, like, dude, I got some crazy shadow stories. And I'm like, I had one last night.
Yeah. Well, it's true. We've gotten a lot of emails from people, and it's a thing that's always been sent in. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of buzz on the internet about this phenomenon. So, you know, why is there such a growing interest in the phenomenon of shadow people, shadow beings, sometimes the hat man? You know, the biggest question is, what are they? Are they ghosts? Like, you know, maybe ghosts look different than we see them portrayed in a movie where they're white. Perhaps they could be dark, right? Are they demons? I've heard many theories that they are demonic in nature, but then there's other people that have written in where they felt no ill will towards them. They didn't feel fear. They weren't scared of them. It didn't seem to do any harm. Then there's other people that write in with horrifying tales of, you know, these things meant to do them harm. It scratched them, things like this. Are they astral bodies? Is it something that we don't know near enough about? Are they interdimensional beings? Are they time travelers? You know, or is it simply aliens? Or even more bizarre, something we've never covered on the show, right? Like something we're not even aware of. So that's the biggest question. What are these shadow people? What are these shadow beings? And how old is the phenomenon? Is this an old phenomenon, but just a new name, you know, that's now being discussed more openly because of the internet, Reddit, forums, podcasting stuff? Maybe just the fact that people are talking about it more, it's actually helping to manifest more of these things to happen. We talk about the formation of tulpas from time to time. Just people, a collective group of people thinking the same thing actually manifests the thing. Crazy as that sounds, there's lots of like Shaolin Buddhist monks that talk about having this ability to create tulpas and stuff. I think we even had David Weatherly on one time where he saw one. Somebody's tulpa.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But there are actually people that are not just discussing their experiences, but they're looking into shadow people. Now, there isn't any official form of scientists that are working on it that I know of. But I know lots of people who are just independent investigators are doing and collecting these stories. In fact, there was a book that came out not too long ago by Jason Offit called Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us, and it's got a bunch of cool stories in there. I'll actually read one of those in just a minute. But, you know, some people, when they see these things, their first thought, their natural inclination is the same thing I would have. Is they're like, am I going crazy? I must be imagining this. This can't be real. There's not a ghost here. There's not a demon in my room. I'm losing it. Maybe I hit my head too many times when I was a kid playing football, or maybe, you know, there's something in the air and the gas is on and it's making me hallucinate. You know, something other than there's actually something standing in my room. Because that's one of my biggest fears. I talk about it all the time. It's like seeing aliens. And I even remember a couple times when the kids were little, they'd walk over and wake you up. You're like, oh, geez, what is that? Something 3 foot tall in my room.
Exactly.
Right? You know what I mean?
They're lingering beside the bed or glaring at you.
Yeah. Is that a black eyed kid?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or is it about to be a black eyed kid? Because I'm about to start letting these hands fly, right?
That's right.
But that's just your natural inclination. You know, am I going crazy? Some people like to call these the shadow people. They say that they're ghosts. They're absolutely ghosts. They said almost by definition, shadow people are definitely a type of ghosts. I'm not a ghost hunter. I don't know. I know lots of religious people say that they're demons. And maybe all these things are the same thing. Maybe shadow people, sightings of demons throughout the years, sightings of ghosts, maybe they're all the same thing. These aren't different things. Nobody knows. I know one of the theories out there suggests that shadow people are shadows or the essences of people who are having out-of-body experiences. Have you heard of this? Where that's what a shadow person is someone else on somewhere on the planet is having an out-of-body experience, and it's like their astral body walking around. It's walking in your room. And I mean, I don't know why they always go in people's bedrooms, but apparently if you're having an out-of-body experience, you can become an astral body and someone else will view you as a shadow person. Other people claim that these shadow beings are time travelers, right? That somewhere in the future, we develop the ability to time travel. So these people come back. I don't know if it's like a carnival where you go to pay to ride. You got to be so tall, and it's not in dollars. You have to buy coupons to trade them in, you know?
If that's a fact, this is like a black market time travel where people are like the creepers are going into people's bedrooms and whatnot.
Well, you're right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like creepers. The creepers. That's black market time travel. Because if you're going to time travel, you'd be like, it'd be like going to a ride at Disney World. You're going to time travel. Everybody get in the boat. Keep your hands in. We're going to time travel back. Everybody going to get a look at the pyramids. And then the one dude in the back alley's like, hey,
right,
I'm going to walk in that bedroom, freak somebody out. That cool?
Right. They like to scare. They like to scare women, right? While they're showering or whatever, sleeping.
I don't
heavy
think
breathing.
It is. I think
creeps,
of it more
right.
of evil. It's a way for evil to manifest. And this sounds ridiculous, but there are spells in D&D where you can jump from shadow to shadow.
Yeah.
How easy is it to travel from shadow to shadow?
Right.
There's always shadows.
So perhaps it is time travelers coming back in time and, I don't know, touring the planet. But like you said, creeping on people.
Yeah.
Other people think that they're interdimensional beings. And, you know, mainstream science is convinced that there's more than the three dimensions that we live in or currently exist in. And they talk about these parallel universes. Is this something bleeding over?
Mm-hmm.
These are interdimensional travelers. I don't know. And then there's the people that think they're just aliens, that this is what they are. What you're seeing is they have the aliens either have the ability to cloak themselves to look like the shadow, or they're trying to be sneaky so they make themselves look like a shadow, or they just physically just look like shadows.
Yeah.
We don't know, but a lot of people say that they definitely are aliens. check out this story. Her name is Carla, and she says, shadow people have been following me for most of my life. I usually see them while in bed, but I've occasionally seen them in a dark alley or in the bushes. My first memories of them were when me and my family, we moved to a house in the woods north of Houston, Texas, in the mid-1990s. I was between 5 and 7 years old. Now, just north of Houston, actually, there is a town called The Woodlands because there are trees everywhere. It's even a city ordinance because I used to have a friend that lived there that I think you have to have at least 13 trees in your yard or you get a fine. So it's crazy. But just north of Houston, there's a lot of woods. Anyways, when we moved into that house, my sister and I immediately began to feel uncomfortable. We constantly experienced this illogical fear whenever we were alone. It always felt like something was watching us. And whatever it was angry. This was confounded by the fact that our dog would lots of times just randomly start growling and snarling at empty doorways or spots on the wall. Now, our dog was a golden retriever, and I had otherwise never seen him act aggressively ever. except whenever these things were present. I spoke with my sister about this while we were adults, and she confided in me some of the dread she felt, and she said she never saw anything, but she always felt the presence, and she never saw any figures, but I certainly did. I would see them at night, hovering around our bed. I can remember about 12 separate occasions, but there were more, much more, I'm sure of it. Out of several of my vivid memories, I remember waking up and seeing this red-eyed, tall man with a wide-brimmed hat just leaning over my bed. He was so angry and extremely terrifying. His anger, for whatever reason, it was directed right at me, and I couldn't imagine why. The best way of describing how he felt was predatorial. I can only specifically remember seeing him once, but it was possible that there were other encounters. Other times, I would see lesser figures in my room. The creepy part is that they seemed to interact with the physical environment. What I mean is they could make and would cause small changes, like knocking over an item on a bookshelf. One night, I remember seeing one reach for my mouth, and I woke up the next morning with all the rubber bands in my braces missing. I got in so much trouble for that. I had bunk beds in my room, but it was only just me. The top bunk rested on plywood slats that I looked up at while lying in the bottom bunk. I took a pencil and drew a picture of the shadow figure with a circle and a line through it, like a no smoking sign. Underneath the symbol, I wrote, "No ghosts." Over the next 2 weeks, the symbol gradually and supernaturally creeped down and eventually rested on the top of the letters, like I had drawn over them. The drawing became an incoherent squiggle, and it felt like its intention was nullified. I learned early on that the more you paid attention to the figures, the more they acknowledged you. The more they began to manifest themselves into my everyday reality. I found that the worst thing you could do is make eye contact with one of the ones that had red eyes. Not all of them did. Whenever you would make eye contact with the ones with the red eyes, this seemed to excite them. Therefore, I got in the habit of keeping my eyes closed while I was in the dark. I never dropped that habit as I grew older. For about a 15-year period, I forgot all about the shadow people. I remember the terror that I felt as a child, but I expected that it was just an overactive imagination. After all, I was getting viciously, physically abused by my parents in that house, so I thought the terror was just a misplaced manifestation of my family-based fears. I left Texas and moved to Washington, attempting to leave the horrors of my childhood behind me. Shadow people became a distant memory. That was until I started reading some creepy posts on a Reddit forum about 3 years ago. As it turns out, a lot of children experience the same manifestations. I remember reading creepy childhood accounts of shadow people and thinking, mine had a wide-brimmed hat. Then the very next account was a person describing how their shadow person had the same hat. After posting, another person living in Texas had wrote their own story on a Reddit forum talking about their visions and sightings of this hat man. Now, I'm a very rational person. I have a scientific degree and no serious mental health issues. So I'm tired of being considered a schizophrenic when I try to tell my friends or family about this. They don't believe me. So I decided to run a little experiment. You see, I still keep my eyes closed at night. 2 years ago, I decided to stare into the darkness to prove to myself once and for all that shadow people aren't real. Imagine my surprise when I saw the red eyes staring back at mine. By now, I've just accepted the fact that they are there. They haven't killed me by now. They probably never will. In fact, it's actually oddly comforting that they followed me for this long. I've had several theories. I'll end with this story with another story another time. But I think these beings who somehow feed off of my emotions or emotional trauma They aren't really parasites, but they aren't really symbionts either. They know that they're scary, and that's why looking at them seems to excite them. Look versus fear equals substance. They seem to mark particular people. And the best as I can tell, they seem to follow them most of their life. Part of me even wonders if they protect that person. I don't know. My most recent encounter was last month, and it involved a kitten I'm fostering. Screaming in the middle of the night, this thing, I looked up and sure enough, there were the red eyes again. I've seen this creature, or whatever it is, multiple times throughout my whole life, and I don't see any way of stopping it in the future. Thanks. So Carla, that's crazy. You're not the first person I've heard of having a shadow person that seems to follow them their entire life. And they just kind of accept it. They get used to it and they move on. So check this next one out. It says, I've been able to see these so-called shadow people ever since I was in the first grade, meaning I was around 7 years old at the time. I remember this vividly because the first one I saw scared the crap out of me. It was midnight and I was staying up late, despite my parents telling me to go to bed. But forget that, they were asleep and I needed to catch up on some more Scooby-Doo. The only light illuminating the den was the room next to the den and the flickering of my TV screen. And I had my Scooby-Doo comforter around my shoulders, keeping me protected from the evil monsters that lurk in the dark. After some time of rebelling against my parents and staying up, I noticed a shadow behind the television. Me, being the easily scared kid that I was, scurried out of the room to get to the protector of all evil, Mom. I told her something was behind the TV, and she reluctantly got up to go check what it was. The figure was gone, and she told me that I should go back to sleep because it was way past my bedtime. I agreed and I went to bed, opening my closet door just enough so a little light could illuminate from the crack. After my mother had tucked me in and left the room, my thoughts were overwhelming me. My eyes stayed opened, and of course, I see something out of the corner of my eye. I glance in the general direction of the hallway that was connected to my room, and yep, that shadow figure was standing right there, all right. He didn't seem threatening, though. He was just standing there, peacefully watching me. Nonetheless, I still covered my entire body with my Scooby-Doo comforter. After my heart rate had returned to a natural level, I convinced myself to peek out from under the covers. And guess what? The shadow being was still in my room, this time on the opposite side of my bed. Just a humanoid shadow standing there, watching me. I ducked back into my Scooby-Doo protection barrier, and I let out a blood-curdling scream that caused my parents to barge into my room. It had obviously disappeared right after I had screamed because my parents, they didn't see anything. I've had more sightings of these humanoid shadows as the days have passed, becoming less and less scared of them every time. I caught a glimpse of them, and occasionally even being able to directly view them. I had a feeling my father never believed me when I told him about these things, so I stopped talking to him about it. My mother, on the other hand, seemed to be entirely interested in this anomaly and believed me every time I told her that I had a new sighting. She reassured me that these creatures weren't just creatures, but were angels, and that they were looking over me, so I had nothing to be afraid of. She told me I had a special gift, and that I need to hold on to this gift because not everyone is capable of seeing these angels. And from that point on, I've been referring these shadows as angels, as that's what I've been grown to believe. Fast forward into middle school, I'm still able to see these angels, and they no longer scare me, unless I don't expect them at a certain point. But even then, after I realize it's just one of them, I'm not frightened. It's like you're playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark with your friends, and your friend jumps out in a Halloween mask to scare you. You get frightened for a second, but then you realize it's just the jerk of a friend of yours playing a joke. At this point in my life, I was going through a living hell. Middle school was a terrible place for me. Friends spread rumors about me that I had no recollection of. The popular kids teased me, and the bullies, yeah, they bullied me, and so on and so forth. I was miserable and alone, dreading day after day of torture, to where I eventually fell into a depression. After weeks of being alone and still having the ability to see these shadows, I decided to try something I haven't tried before. Talk to the shadow beings. So that's what I did. I talked to them. Every time I could directly see one, and even when I couldn't, I'd talk to them. I told them my problems. I told them my fears. I told them about my day. I told them literally everything. And they seemed to listen. They seemed to care. I, as sad as this sounds, considered them to be my friends. I mean, they were never hostile. They never hurt me. They didn't do anything but stand there in the unexpected areas and occasionally move, but not in a threatening way. Never in a threatening way. At one point, one of them inched its way so close to me with unmoving limbs that I nearly reached out for a hug. But I didn't, because I knew I couldn't. I would either frighten it off or I would go through it or something. These shadows were the only things I had at that moment, and I would not risk losing them. After the hell called middle school passed, my life progressively improved. And as much as it improved, I still could see these angels. And I still talked to them. Like I said, they were my friends. I never told anybody, excluding my parents, but they stopped asking about them shortly after middle school. One time, they asked me about these shadow angels, and they kind of seemed like our little secret. I felt special, like maybe I really did have a power, and my parents didn't judge me. I'm now out of school, and the ability of seeing these shadowy angels, has been going on for 12 years now. It has become a part of my everyday life. I see them quite frequently, usually at night, though. And I've had an impression that I am one of a very few people that are able to see these things. Unless they are all hostile and I'm just oblivious, I'm honestly dreading the next time I see one, since I now know what they are. I'm scared, truly scared. What do I do to get rid of this ability? Will I be okay? Or could I help anyone else? Please, I don't want this anymore. I'm scared. I just want to be normal. So, this person is what I was talking about. They don't think it was hostile. They called them their angels the whole time, but they did mention at the end that they had a change of heart, that now they're kind of scared of these things. I don't know why. I don't know what made them, you know, really have that change of heart, since their whole life they've been interacting with these, whatever they are, and they didn't ever feel any hostile threats towards them. I know lots of people claim that there are these people, these mediums, these people. I think I even have a relative that's got some of these abilities. For whatever reason, they can just see things that other people can't. That's why those people have an unusual amount of paranormal encounters, is because they can see more than the average person, if that just makes sense. I'm one of the average people. I don't ever see anything paranormal except for one crazy experience I had while hunting. I mentioned the book Darkness Walks by Jason Offit. I got a pretty cool story about a red-eyed being. Check this out. All right, check this out. He says that shadow people have followed this young man named Daniel Pestana of Portugal for years now. And he says that it's a blacker-than-night human-shaped shadow that visit him often and stare. Now, as you guessed, some wear hats, some wear a monk's cowl, and they are never hostile. This is what Daniel says. He says they seem to be mere observers. I used to see them in the hallway of my house, in the reflections of mirrors, and sometimes floating quickly from door to door. Now, Daniel, he became used to these frequent visits until the night he encountered something different, something he feels was evil. Now, Daniel said, I just saw it only once. He was walking with his girlfriend home when this happened, when they stopped in a small park in the center of a quarter. He said, when we were saying goodbye to each other, we heard a noise coming from a tree next to a nearby house. I looked, and I noticed at the top of the tree, fanned itself with violence. A violent rustling and the snap of breaking branches shot through the night. He said that's when I heard a muffled sound of something crashing into the ground. He said I had a strange feeling that arose inside me that I still can't quite explain. Now Pistana and his girlfriend watched silently as two hands grasped the top of a wall that surrounded the house's yard. They didn't seem human. That's what Daniel later said about the hands. They didn't look like a human's hands. They were dark, as if it was burned paper. As the two stood frozen, a head as dark as the hands pulled itself up from behind the wall. And Daniel said that two brilliant and red eyes stared directly at us. The creature loosened a roar of some kind and it jumped upward onto the wall. We saw it perfectly. The figure was human-like and pitch black from head to toe. Now, neither Daniel nor his girlfriend could make out any features, only the fiery red eyes. He said, I grabbed my girlfriend's hand and we ran through the streets without looking back. It was the only time that I felt truly threatened by those creatures' red eyes. This is from Darkness Walks by Jason Offit. It's a pretty cool book. There are all kinds of shadow being stories in here. Negative shadows, benign shadows, buzzing shadows, you know, Ouija boards, the Hat Man, and how cats have an effect on these shadow beings. All very cool. You should check it out. I'm going to put links to it in the show notes. That's Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us by Jason Offit. Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, man, shadow being stories. I love them. We got a plethora of them. They're very interesting. I wish I knew what people were seeing, but they're not all seen as evil or hostile, as strange as that sounds. Some people have just learned to live with them. And I got another one for you real quick. Check this out. It says, a while ago, when my son was a little kid, my wife and I bought him an awesome teepee. When I say teepee, I mean a full-size, albeit flimsy, teepee that was almost tall enough, so tall that it would not fit in the house. He loved this thing. Now, at the time, we had a humongous master bedroom with very little furniture. We decided to set up the teepee around 6 p.m., and we decided to make it about 6 or so feet to the side of our bed. My son slept in the teepee for a solid 6 months. If not more, it was awesome. Near the end, the thing was held together by duct tape and replacement sticks because I had to patch up every break and tear the boy did to it. It was pretty awesome. I remember one day, it all changed, though. I did not experience this on my own, since I've been told that I am as spiritual as a rock. Also, without my glasses, I can't see past my nose. My vision is even worse in the dark. All I know is that one morning, my wife and my son were very quiet and seemed as though they were very disturbed. I gave my wife a, what's going on look, and she gave me back a, I will tell you later look. If you know anybody long enough, you know what I'm talking about. With just little facial expressions, you get the whole conversation. After my son went to school, first grade or second, I don't remember, I asked, what was going on? My wife said that while she was lying in bed, she saw a dark shadow come from either the bathroom or the large walk-in closet, which are right next to each other. She said it didn't look like a shadow in the sense that you could follow the shadow on whatever's blocking the light. She said it looked like the absence of light. I got a little chill, but somehow calmed myself down by convincing myself that my wife was seeing things. She said that the shadow slowly floated across the room toward her. and eventually began to float between our bed and the teepee. My wife said that she was a little scared, but had enough sense to realize that she was hallucinating. So she just squeezed her eyes shut and covered her head with her blanket. She doesn't remember how long she stayed under the sheets until she decided to poke her head out. When she finally did, she said it was gone. Well, I was sufficiently freaked out at this point. Even though I was a non-spiritual person, I heard two things, weird things, in that house. The pounding of stomping feet, or the rough housing upstairs on the wood floors when I knew nobody was up there. A deep masculine voice upstairs when the only two men in the house were a child and I. I heard doorknobs rattling from time to time. Quiet, easily dismissed in my mind, though. Just hearing things. So I told my wife that maybe she was seeing things. Then she told me that after she peeked out from under the blanket, she had let out a little relieved sigh. Then my son, hearing her wake up, began to talk, and he said to her, "Mom, are you awake?" And she responded, "Yes, son, what's wrong?" He said, "Did you see that shadow too?" After that night, my son didn't want to sleep in our room anymore. Hell, neither did I. Wow, thanks for sending that in, Jackson. That's pretty cool.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to sleep in there either.
It's a pretty cool story. It's not cool. It's terrible, right?
Like, yeah.
Your wife is not only seeing things, but your son is too, and you're hearing all kinds of strange stuff. I think that what you're dealing with is that house is haunted, bro.
So I've got a question, right? Too.
Sure.
If you had to, just like we did last time, you know, if I had to tell you right now, if I had to put you on the spot and I said, what do you think the shadow beings are? What would you say? You get to pick one thing.
How does it feel? If I could pick one thing, I would say deep demonic, something demonic.
Something evil, right?
Yeah, maybe just that because of the dark color, right? The white guy's the good guy, the black guy's always the bad. Like when you see like spy versus spy, yeah. You know, the darkness, that's the dark side, right?
Well, and I thought about the other story where the person said they were telling them, right? Like they were kind of using them as a therapist. Were they there to help or were they there to comfort you and console you into falling for it? Does that make sense?
It does.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me, there's nothing gains the benefit of what they do unless they are feeding off of that energy.
Right.
Right? Otherwise, if it's an alien, there's no reason for aliens to do it. There's no reason for time travel. There's no reason for all of that. It's awesome to think about it, but in simplicity form, I don't see there being a reason for it other than this entity or whatever this energy is getting some sort of pleasure or sustenance from the discomfort it causes being around these people.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's what it feels like.
That's definitely what it feels like. It's super scary, though.
Well, and like we said, how often do you think it happens that we don't even notice it?
I think it happens to a lot of people.
Like that, they may be there all the time, like we've discussed, and you just may never. Like we said, man, we live in a very, very strange, strange world. Folks, too, if you like strange, strange places and you like great stories, heads up, October 28th of this year, folks, on Friday, October 28th, 7 p.m., at Panther Island Brewing is going to be Colonize's first live show. We're going to have some friends there. We're going to be telling stories, drinking craft beer. Everyone is welcome. I believe you just buy your bracelet to get in to drink because Kyle and I ain't charging.
No,
we're
not
just here to hang out. So it is open to the public. Everybody's welcome. Come one, come all. Come down and let's have some fun. October 28th of this year.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
7 p.m. We'll be at Panther Island Brewing.
Very, very cool. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
To be honest, I don't know. Since the DM is out of town and we're not going to be playing and my wife is out of town, it's just my daughter and I, and we've got some stuff to do. It will probably be some stuff to catch up on a few things around here, but it's a doggone hot, dude. I don't go outside to do anything unless it's from like 6 to 9, let's say 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then I don't go back out till like 8 to you have to use flashlights, right?
I hear you.
It's just too much.
It's like you said, it's too hot.
It's not fun, man.
It's too hot to do anything. You can't play disc golf. It's hard to fish. It's just, unless you're doing it at night, it's just, it's hot. So I'm going to be like you. I'm going to be trying to cool off.
You and I need to go here pretty quick and grab the boys and go one evening coming up because they've been catching some striper. So I know a spot.
Yeah, that would be
so
great.
So we got to go. I
mean, that's always a good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching probably the last game of the Stanley Cup Final. I'm pretty sure that Colorado's going to stick the fork in Tampa Bay tonight.
Tampa Bay saved themselves from the sweep.
Yeah, I think so.
By one, right? They just won one. Isn't it 3-1 now?
Yes, it's 3-1.
I can't believe they won that.
And they're in Colorado tonight. So
stick a fork in them. The Avs are fixing to start.
You know, and the most frustrating part is Nichushkin. Val Nichushkin, he's doing the most damage for Colorado. He was on the Stars. We just never used him properly, and then they got rid of him. So
that's almost like that's something that's a prerequisite in sports teams in Dallas. Mm-hmm. You got to have the really great stars, but you don't know what you're doing with them.
Yeah.
Football, baseball, everything, right? Hockey, the whole deal.
Yeah, so I am going to be watching that and
sweating.
Staying cool if I can. Hurry up. God, hopefully they get that thing sorted out quickly. Like, I'd love to get a phone call and be like, oh, guess what? The part came in early, but I don't bet that's going to happen. So it's going to be a hot weekend for me. I'm just going to, anybody need their cars washed or I'm going to just get out the garden hose and stuff like that.
You
going to
spend some time in the pool?
I don't think so. I think I'm waterlogged, man.
You done.
We were at the beach almost every day. And so that's more swimming than I've done in 10 months.
You know what we need to do? We need to get up early like we used to last year and go do some disc golf. We need to hit the disc golf course about 6 a.m.
Yeah, about 4 in the morning.
About 5:15 we'll tee off. So we're done by 7 and back home before the sun gets real hot on you.
That is right. Let's not forget to thank our sponsors. Microdose is available nationwide. That's right. Just go to microdose.com and use the promo code EXPANDED. That's EXPANDED.
I'm two-fisting them.
To get free shipping. Free shipping and you get 30% off your first order. That's microdose.com and use the promo code EXPANDED. Also, don't forget about HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. HelloFresh is amazing. Go to HelloFresh.com/expanded16. That's the numbers, folks. EXPANDED16. And then use the code, the promo code, the same thing, EXPANDED16, to get 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/expanded16. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.